I'm Eric Thiel. We've got more live music for you today. Joining me in the JPR studios by way of the magic of technology is Aaron Ivey. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Eric.
Thanks for taking some time to play for us live. It's been many years that we have been working on trying to get this set up with you, so I appreciate it.
I'm thrilled to be here-ish. Here-ish.
Exactly. Here-ish. You are where right now?
I am in my home in Austin, Texas.
Your new album is called Dreamy Weather. We will talk about that in a bit, recorded at the famous Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
You are considered to be sort of Austin's darling, but you are not actually from Austin, right?
Not originally. I've been here for about 17 years, and prior to that, I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, the Naval Academy.
Did you go to Austin because of music?
It was my safety school. Mm-hmm. So I actually came to get as far away from Maryland as I could, and then I stayed because of the music, because of the university, just the culture here is really cool. I like the weather, hot as it can be. It's a great town. It's a really fun town.
Did you go to the University of Texas?
I did.
To study music?
No, well, sort of. Not really. At first, I was in the business school, and I was not awesome at that. So then I studied history for a while. I actually got to go study the Second World War pretty intensely on scholarship for a little while, and then came back and changed my major to humanities, which is, here it's sort of a design-your-own major program, or at least it was at the time. And so I studied child development through music, and I studied French and poetry, and it was a really awesome time. I would just shop through the course catalog and make some sort of excuse for why all of these strange classes went together. They let me do it. They let me graduate. Barely.
You know, I was reading online an interview that you did a while back where you talked about escaping the cubicle life around 2007. Mm-hmm. What were you doing back then?
Well, let's see. After college, I did some college recruiting for a software company here in Austin. And then I worked for Apple Computer in sales. They've got a sales office here. And then I got into project management. And so I started working in various places. I worked at the Austin Independent School District, and then I actually worked for a firm out of Atlanta who farmed me out to Caterpillar up in Peoria. That was my wonderful experience living in the Midwest for a year, and then that was the end of my cubicle life. That was the pinnacle and the worst of it all at the same time.
Was music going on the entire time for you?
Always. Always, always. Yeah. Just therapeutically speaking, and like just as far as quality of life goes, I'm addicted to music. I think it can be so healing, and it can be so motivating, and it can be whatever you need it to be. It's like a prescription you can write for yourself any time of any day. And we're lucky to live in this crazy age where on the internet you really can listen to pretty much anything at any time. It's wild and wonderful. I guess it's a double-edged sword, because the fact that it's so ubiquitous, and you know, people can shove whatever they want down your ears at any time is also the flip side of that. But all in all, I think just music itself inherently is a great gift for all of us.
Aaron Ivey is my guest live in the JPR studios. Her newest album is called Dreamy Weather, a live recording made at the Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas. Aaron, what do you want to play first for us today?
I would like to play a song called Amelia, which was written for and about Amelia Earhart, whose birthday is this month.
Sounds good.
Mama's favorite dress of mine had birds all over. I wore it every Sunday. Something there that I could taste in the air.
put it all in a little black box, hide it on the floor of the sea. Only leave behind you the waves and speed. I was gone for 30 days and 20 hours before I saw the water close and tried to call the towers, and I opened up my window then and gave my letters to the wind. Put it all in a little black box, hide it on the floor of the sea. Sure where I was going, I knew that I'd know when I was there, and I wouldn't let anybody keep it away from me again. No, no.
That is Amelia. It's Erin Ivey live in the JPR studios, a track that appears on her newest album called Dreamy Weather. Erin, you have been the recipient of a lot of accolades in the rather congested Austin music scene. Does it get stifling with all of that talent around? Do you have to kind of be savvy to get noticed?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know about savvy, maybe friendly, or I don't know. It's a really intertwined community. So you've got people who are writing about music, who are passionate about music, just like the people who are making the music are passionate about the music. And just like with anybody else, you know, if you run in the same circles, then you can hit people to your stuff. And if they like it, then they'll write about it. Or if they'll tell their friends or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just, I definitely feel like earlier in my career, I was pushing the boulder up the hill. Mm-hmm. And now I, every once in a while, will have to push the boulder again. But there's a point at which it's like the mountain shifts and it's like you're running after the boulder.
Oh, really?
If that makes any sense whatsoever. But it's like anything. It's like you coast for a while and then you get a little boost, and coast for a while and then you get a little boost. And while you're coasting, you have the chance to work. And that's kind of how I see the cycles of being an independent artist. There's like a creation cycle and creativity, and then there's the actually like funding it and packaging an album and and then there's the promotional part of it. And then after having exposed yourself, wounds and all, then you go back to the cocoon phase. And, and at least for me, that's been the cycles as I have experienced them. There are so many different people doing so many cool things in this town that it's really easy to be inspired. It's also easy to get lost in your, you know, in other people's stuff, because you could really see great music and great art any night of the week, any day of the week. And I think the most important thing is to at least for me right now in this journey, I think the most important thing is to continue to develop one's own creative expression, no matter what that is or where you are.
Yeah. Well, and you were lucky enough to be selected as one of the Texas Musicians of the Year.
Texas Music Magazine honored me that way. I'm still kind of in disbelief. They're so supportive, and Jefferson Public Radio is another sort of amazing connection where I'm just really thankful for the support, and again thankful for this crazy internet age that makes it possible.
Well, and possible to do stuff like this, talking to you from a couple thousand miles away. You've ended up on stage, I mean, maybe partly due to the fact that you're in Austin, which is this incredible hotbed of music, but you have ended up on stage with many of the greats. It's an impressive list. Was there a particular performance when you looked around you up on stage and realized, wow, I've kind of really made it?
There's a really great fundraiser for the Nobility Project each year here in Austin. And the Nobility Project is a really great nonprofit organization. And they throw a dinner party once a year that's called the Artists and Filmmakers Dinner. And they have artists and filmmakers host tables. And then at the very end, they have just illustrious talent get up and perform all through the dinner and through as the awards and the bidding and things like that are happening. And then at the very end, they have all of the artists get up and sing a song at the end all together. And this last one was honoring Kris Kristofferson. And when I had my picture made with Kris Kristofferson, I was like, this is a dream. Like, I can't even believe that it was like an out of body experience to be beheld by Kris Kristofferson. Yeah. And then doing that, the song at the end, just with so many talented people up on stage. It was really, that was a pinch myself moment, but that was probably that. And then getting to meet Ralph Stanley. I opened for Ralph Stanley a couple years ago, and that was just, man, he's such a vessel for truth and love and grace. And man, it was awesome to be in his presence as well.
You know, your new album was recorded live at a place called the Cactus Cafe, which I'm not sure how many people here on the West Coast have heard of, but this is a club that has played an incredibly important role in the development of many, many careers. Have you played there often?
I feel like I play there all the time now, and which is great. It's not true, but it feels that way sometimes. I actually have been fortunate to play there most recently. Last week, I opened for Gary Louris of the Jayhawks.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that was an awesome show. There's always awesome music going on at the Cactus Cafe. That room just drips with good vibes. And
is it big or small?
It's small. I think you can stuff almost 200 people in there. Mm. But no matter how many people are in there, they'll configure the room to be very comfortable. So sometimes they'll put in some tables or take out all the tables and put in extra chairs. And it just really depends on, the room breathes with the night. It's just kind of one of those treasures. It almost closed maybe 3 years ago. And KUT, our local NPR affiliate, came in and took it over and has saved it and done a really great job of keeping it alive and keeping the music in there at a really great level. But I remember my first open mics being there, and I was terrified and like physically sick. I just wrote a blog post about this calling public performance certain social suicide, because that's basically what your body is prepared. Like, when you're not used to getting up all the time and speaking or singing, especially singing your own songs, it feels like you are walking onto a gangplank or something, like, or like walking off the side of a ship, or it's like all everything in, at least for me, my experience was that everything in my body froze, or was like the things that were supposed to be still were moving, and the things that were supposed to be moving, I couldn't move, you know, like, oh. It's just this shocking experience. Maybe you have that experience, had that experience when you first got on the air. I don't know if, but there's that sort of public speaking.
Yeah, it can
fright.
Be a little daunting, although we have the benefit of not actually seeing any faces looking back at us, you know. Well, you mentioned that it was almost more difficult for you singing your own songs. I would think that the opposite would be true, because if you did a cover, then everybody has previous versions to compare you to.
Well, but they can't blame you for a twisted lyric or for something that they dislike about the song itself.
Yeah.
They can only blame you for your interpretation of the song, which
I see.
That's the easy part, I right. think.
Rather than disliking you all the way to your core.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Is bearing your soul through words and song. But I think I've finally come full circle to have made an album at this Cactus Cafe that once terrified me so.
Nice. That's good. It's good to come full circle.
You know, just keep doing it over and over and over again, and it won't be so scary, whatever
right.
it is.
You mentioned that you studied some French when you were in school, and French has made its way onto your albums over the years.
Oh, I love French.
Do you speak it very well? I mean, I don't speak it at all, so I don't have anything to compare you to, really.
Then yes, I speak it very well.
Why do you choose to do some songs in French?
French is such a beautiful language. I love hearing women's voices speaking or singing French. And I'm just kind of a Francophile. I love the culture. It's so, so very different from what we know here in the United States. And there's a lot of cultural misunderstanding between the two, you know, French and United States culture. But by and large, I've had such positive experiences with the people and definitely with the wine and the food and the different, it's so different that, I love to see myself against different backdrops. I think I learn more about myself that way. Hmm. So I've always just, I love it. I love the sound of it. I love, my friends who live there and being able to speak it just kind of falls right off your tongue. It's like so easy and beautiful. And I used to be fluent like 10, 12 years ago, and I just hardly get the opportunity to use it anymore. So I am woefully behind, but, I would definitely invite the opportunity to go back again for a couple months and reimmerse myself for sure. That's on my bucket list.
Aaron Ivey is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. You can also find us online at ijpr.org. Her newest album is called Dreamy Weather. What are you going to play for us next?
I will play Canyon. This is a song that I wrote for my boyfriend, and he married me anyway. My love is a canyon dark and steep. My sleep is elusive and just knee deep, but my hope is alive and my spirit is striving to rid itself from these chains. My heart is an endless highway over difficult terrain, but my love is a canyon. Canyon. My love is a canyon dark and steep. Ooh.
It's Aaron Ivey live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Canyon is from the new album called Dreamy Weather, recorded live at the Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas. Aaron, I don't know whether you have ever described your music this way, but any internet search about you and your music pops up terms like urban folk, down-tempo folk, folk songstress, urban darling, things like that. What happens when you try an up-tempo song? Do you catch fire? Do you erupt in flames?
I don't have any up-tempo songs.
Why? Like, why
no,
not?
I do. They might not be uplifting lyrically because I go for the sad, like slow stuff, I guess, mostly. But I do some up-tempo songs, and my band loves that. And actually, when I was working with The Finest Kind, I made an album called Broken Gold with an R&B dub organ trio called The Finest Kind, and they were all about making people dance. Like they were really into that, and I of course am. I don't care. I mean, I do. I think dancing is an important part of a healthy breakfast or whatever, but it's just not my vibe. Like putting the two of us together really stretched them into my realm and me into theirs. And so it's happened. It has happened. We have made people dance.
Was it uncomfortable for you being with that kind of a group?
It was, I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word, but it wasn't my sweet spot. That's for sure. It took me kind of like with those open mics. It took me over and over and over and over again, just getting used to it and practicing it. And to the point where I was able to be a positive, like to contribute at the same level that they were contributing. I really feel like they trained me in how to front a band. They taught me so much about that just by telling me what they needed or what they envisioned and seeing how I carried it. So it was a really cool experience. I love the band that I'm working with right now. Actually, a couple of the players from The Finest Kind are in my steady band as well. It was a really cool experience. It stretched me out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't say it was uncomfortable, but it took some getting used to, for sure.
What is the configuration that you're in most often these days? I know you used to do a lot of solo shows, right? But is it mostly band now?
I still do a lot of solo shows. It's just so easy, and my guitar is really beautiful, and I love the freedom that comes with solo performance. But I can do whatever a gig calls for. I have a great band. I've got it's drums, bass, keyboard, guitar, and then my guitar as well. And then sometimes some backup singers too. It just really depends on the occasion and what's appropriate, what people want.
Well, you mentioned when you were playing with The Finest Kind, not necessarily uncomfortable, but maybe a little awkward, right? You made a super sexy video with a guy in a gorilla suit.
My grandma still won't watch it.
Why? What? Why? How?
My friend Andrew Schapter is a wonderful filmmaker. He was the director of the acclaimed documentary Before the Music Dies, and he is actually working on his next film, which is called The Teller and the Truth, which is going to be fantastic. And he and I were just looking for some fun, and he was like, hey, I got this idea. We'll go get a Sasquatch outfit over at Lucy in Disguise, which is one of our local costume shops.
That's a great name. That's a great name for a costume shop.
It's a great costume shop, too. You can find anything there except a Sasquatch outfit. So we went over there, and they were like, oh, we don't have that, but we just got back this gorilla suit. And we were like, okay, I guess that could work. I mean, because we had like the film crew and everything. And so we found some kid who could fit into this suit that they gave us. And
oh, so it wasn't your boyfriend turned husband
no,
in the suit?
No.
Is he sore about that?
No. No, it was like 107 degrees in the shade that day. And this poor child was, I mean, he had the head, the chest hair piece, the hands. In addition to that, he was wearing a leather jacket. I mean, this poor kid, every time he took the thing off, it was like he had lost 25 pounds and turned into a beet. I mean, he was like purple. He was so red. It was, but he was like, no, this is fun. He was a great trooper. Everybody was just in it for the fun, and it was kind of absurd, and we had a great time, and that's really all it was about. Andrew is very influenced by Pedro Almodovar, and his, I guess, pedestalizing of women. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. He puts women in the most beautiful light, so that was kind of one of the influences on that as well. It was a really fun experience. I've never done anything like that before.
What song was it for?
That was for Chocolate.
Yeah, for Chocolate. And that's a song that's appeared on a couple of different releases of yours, right? It's on the new one, Dreamy Weather.
It is,
but also,
yes.
Way back on Sweet Little EP.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a version of that with the band, The Finest Kind, also, did you?
I did. I mean, why just have one version of a song when you could release it 25 times?
Well, before I let you go, I want to talk about the new album, because it was fan-funded, like a lot of albums are right now, and released by you.
Such a cool model. Yeah. I love that the whole crowdfunding is such a great idea. It allows people to participate in art that they otherwise maybe would never even know about, because it wouldn't exist, because they weren't able to participate in it. I mean, it's just like the perfect, nothing's perfect, but it's pretty awesome. It's a way for artists to fund their vision their way. You have an audience that becomes your record label. I mean, at least most independent artists who I know here in Austin, they have a great PR rep they would love to use. They have a great graphic designer that they like to use. The team is in place. It's just a matter of funding that team. And then you don't have the overhead of actually paying their salaries and paying for their, you know, whatever else labels do. But there's really no overhead except for maybe the occasional coffee meeting. But it's a great way to keep costs down and participate in a lot of different art, and just have like a community effort that basically acts as a modern day record label would.
When you put that project up and made it public, did it feel a little bit like your first open mic?
Absolutely. It was like a full-time job. It really was. Just preparing it and making sure everything was perfect before you hit launch. And then once you hit launch, then you have to be promoting, constantly promoting. Everyone you talk to, everyone you see, that became my full-time job, and I loved it. It was great. We actually, I think we made 154% of our goal. It was definitely worth it. And then at the end, not only do I have, I fulfilled my pre-orders, and then I also have 700 more discs and t-shirts and posters and, just
coffee.
Merch that will keep gas in my car and food in my belly. And that is all because 250 people pre-ordered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's so cool. It's so cool. And it's pretty low impact for everybody involved, except for that whole it's a full-time job part.
Aaron Ivey is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming at ijpr.org. That album is called Dreamy Weather. There is information on that album and earlier discs as well at aaronivey.com. Aaron, will you play one more for us?
I would love to.
What's it going to be?
I'd like to play a song called Anchor. This doesn't appear on any album. This is just a single that I've released. It's something that I wrote for my stepdaughters. And It's just a song that actually anyone can download it online for free. You can just go to erinivey.com, erinivey.com, and download Anchor. Here it is. Would you let me be your anchor? Would you let me be your stepping stone? No, I don't have all the answers, but I don't want you to ever feel alone. When you're far out on the water, when your sights are on a distant shore, I'll set out the stars to guide you, I'll set out the wind to carry you along. So you all I want is just to watch you grow. See the little light inside you, see it shine on everyone you know. There's a peace when you are sleeping, there's a joy in waking every day. Truth in every moment, there's an emptiness whenever you're away. But I know you'll find your way back home.
That's Erin Ivey live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. That tune available as a free download at her website, erinivey.com. The newest album is called Dreamy Weather. Our copy of it actually says, I love JPR. I think you wrote that on there a couple of months ago. Thank you very much.
Hopefully one day soon I'll get there in person.
That sounds fantastic. Erin, thanks so much for taking some time out and spending it with us.
My great pleasure.